Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're beginning Maseches Erevin Daf Beis. I want to welcome all the new members who've joined us from Maseches Erevin. I want to wish all our members tremendous hatzlacha as we begin the third Masechta in this Daf Yomi cycle. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening Mishnah states that if a Mavui has a Korah, a crossbeam, placed at the entrance higher than 20 Amos, the Korah must be lowered. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, Chachamim Rabbanadua El Mepiskel Shel Heichel. The Chachamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the Heichel, and Rabbi Yehuda Lelamda El Mepiskel Shel Ulam. And Rabbi Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, as it stated in the Mishnah Midos, Piskel Shel Heichel, Gabu Esrim Amma, Varachbu Esra Amos. The entranceway to the Heichel was 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide. Vashel Ulam Gabu Arbim Amma, Varachbu Esrim Amma. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos wide. Point number two, the Gemara went on to elaborate how both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda derived the rulings from the same pasuk, "Shchato Pesach Ohel Moed," and he shall slaughter the offering at the entranceway of the Ohel Moed. So the Gemara questions how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the Ohel Moed, whose entranceway was only 10 amos high, and answers, "Ashchachan Mishkan diikrit Mikdash uMikdash diikrit Mishkan." We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says. And the pasuk va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham, and they shall make me a mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called the mikdash. Therefore, the pasuk which the Chachamim and Yehuda base the ruling on can be referring to the entrance way of the base of mikdash, which is higher than 10 amos. And pointing through the Gemara is that if the Chachamim derive their ruling from the entrance way to the Heichel, then they should require doors like the Heichel had. Yet we know in a later Mishnah that the Heksher Mavui, the adjustment of a Mavui according to Beis Shammai, requires a lechi and a korah, and according to Beis Hillel, a lechi or a korah. Neither one requires a door. The Gemara answers, the lasos heichel etznias ba'amo huda avidan. The doors of the heichel were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the avoda. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the opening Mishnah states that if a mavui has a korah, a crossbeam placed at the entrance higher than 20 amos, the korah must be lowered. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Chachamim Rabbanadua El Mepiskel Shel Heichel. The Chachamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the Heichel, and Rabbi Yehuda Lelamda El Mepiskel Shel Ulam. And Rabbi Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, and it stated in the Mishnah Midos, Piskel Shel Heichel Gavo Esrim Amma, Varachva Esra Amos. The entranceway to the Heichel was 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide. Mel Shel Ulam Gavo Arbim Amma, Varachva Esrim. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos wide. Point number two, the Gemara went on to elaborate how both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda derived their rulings from the same pasuk, "Shchato Pesach Ohel Moed," and he shall slaughter the offering at the entranceway of the Ohel Moed. So the Gemara questions how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the Ohel Moed, whose entranceway was only 10 amos high, and answers, "Ashchachan Mishkan diikrit Mikdash uMikdash diikrit Mishkan." We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says in the pasuk, "Vasili Mikdash v'shachanti pesocham," and they shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash. Therefore, the pasuk which the Chachamim and the Rabbi Yehuda base their ruling on can be referring to the entranceway of the base of Mikdash, which is higher than 10 amos. And point number three, the Gemara asks that if the Chachamim derive their ruling from the entranceway to the Heichel, then they should require doors like the Heichel had. Yet, we know in a later Mishnah that Heksher Mavui, the adjustment of a Mavui, according to Beis Shammai, requires a lechi and a korah, and according to Beis Hillel, a lechi or a korah. Neither one requires a door. The Gemara answers, the lasos heichel etznias ba'amu da'avidan. The doors of the heichel were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the avoda. So the three topics in short are the machlokas regarding lowering a korah and a Mavui that is 20 amos high, two, how they can base their rulings on a pasuk dealing with the Ohel Moed, and three, what the Chachamim don't require doors like the heichel had. So the three keywords are Korah, Ohel Moed, and doors. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Dav Beis, which is a Baiza house. So here goes. The house of prayer, with crossbeams lower to 20 amos high, was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. Once again, in slow motion. The house of prayer, a house, that must mean run Dav Beis. The house of prayer, with crossbeams lower to 20 amos high, which reminds the opening Mishnah states that if a Mavui is a Korah, a crossbeam placed at the entrance higher than 20 Amos, the Korah must be lowered. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Chachamim Rabbanadua El Mepiskel Shel Heichel. The Chachamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the Heichal, and Rabbi Yehuda Lamda Ol Piskel Shel Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, as it stated in the Mishnah Midos, Piskel Shel Heichal Gavu Esrim Amma Verachbu Esra Amos. The entranceway to the Heichal is 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. Shel Ulam Gavu Arbim Amma Verachbu Esrim Amma. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 amos high and 20 amos wide. So the house of prayer, with crossbeams lower to 20 amos high, was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, which reminds us, the Gemara went on to elaborate how both the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda derived their rulings from the same pasuk, Mishchato Pesach HaHomoed, and he shall slaughter the offering at the entranceway of the HaHomoed. So the Gemara questions how the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the HaHomoed, whose entranceway was only 10 amos high, and answers, Ashkacham Mishkan Deikrim Mikdash, Mikdash Deikrim Mishkan. We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says in the pasuk, Vasili Mikdash v'shechanti pesocham, and there shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash. Therefore, the pasuk, which the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda base their ruling on, can be referring to the entranceway of the base of Mikdash, which is higher than 10 amos. So the house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks that if the Chachamim derived their ruling from the entranceway to the Heichal, then they should require doors like the Heichal had. Yet we know in a later Mishnah that Hekshir Mavui, the adjustment of a Mavui, according to Beis Shammai requires a Lechi and a Korah, and according to Beis Hillel, a Lechi or a Korah. Neither one requires a door. So the Gemara answers, D'lasos Heichal etznias ba'amuhu da'avinan. The doors of the Heichal were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the Avoda. So once again, the house of prayer, with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach chazara. Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. So the Simber Kuf Nun Dalet is a candy man. So here goes. The Shul Candyman, that must mean run Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The Shul Candyman, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, which reminds us on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Rami Bar Chama said, a mechamer acher behemto b'Shabbos, one who leads his loaded animal on Shabbos by goading him with his voice, b'shogi chayv chatas b'mezid chayv skil. If he does so b'shogeg, he's chayv achatas, and if he does so b'mezid, he's chayv to be killed by stoning. Rava asked that if one is mechamer b'shogeg, he should be exempt from bringing achatas, because it's learned through a hekesh that one is only chayv achatas if the act was done in a similar fashion to one who worships Avodah Zorah. Just as one who performs Avodah Zorah does a physical action, so too one is only chayv achatas if one does a physical action. In the case of mechamer, one is merely calling the animal. On this daf, Rav Zvi taught that Rami Bar Chama accepted Rav's objection and ruled, a mechamer acher behemto b'shabbos b'shogeg eino chayv achatas b'mezid chayv skila. If one leads his loaded animal b'shogeg, he is pater from bringing achatas, and if he does so b'mezid, he's chayv to be killed by stoning. The Gemara brings another opinion that the above statement attributed to Rami Bar Chama was actually said by Rabbi Yochanan. Additionally, the correct statement is that if one did mechamer b'shogeg, one is exempt from achatas, and if he did it b'mezid, he's exempt even from malchus, even from lashes, for violating losaseh, a negative commandment, which the Gemara goes on to explain. So the Shul Candyman, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, didn't know what to tell the children when he found his donkey dead under a ton of spoiled honey. Which reminds us, a brice was brought that stated that Ram Gamliel's donkey was once loaded with honey as Shabbos began. Ram Gamliel did not want to unload the donkey until Motzi Shabbos, and the animal died Motzi Shabbos. So after the Gemara determines that the honey was spoiled and therefore muksa, it explains that Ram Gamliel did not permit bringing pillows and cushions to be placed under the containers because he held Tzar Bal Chaim Durabbanan, causing suffering to a living creature is only in the Rabbanan, and therefore it does not override the Rabbanan of Igmevata Koy Mehechano, nullifying the preparedness of a vessel. So the Shul Candyman, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, didn't know what to tell the children when he found his donkey dead under a ton of spoiled honey, and they would no longer be able to use it as a slide. Which reminds us, Abai saw Rabba sliding his son down the back of a donkey on Shabbos, and said to him that what he was doing was prohibited, as he was mishtamish b'balei chayim. He was making use of a living creature. This is forbidden by the Rabban unless he come to ride on it and tear a branch of a tree and use as a whip, which would be a violation of the malach of kotzer, of reaping. So Rabbi answered, Tzadin hen, v'tzadin lo gazibu Rabbanan. These are merely the sides of the donkey that I'm using, and the Rabbanan never decreed a prohibition regarding the sides of an animal. Daf Kuf Nun Hei, so the Simper Kuf Nun Hei is a reed. So here goes. After using his reed, that must mean run Daf Kuf Nun Hei. After using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, which reminds us, based on the next mission, there's machlokas and maraim regarding food preparation for animals. Rav Huna holds that one may exert himself to improve an existing food, such as untying bundles of straw and scattering them in front of the animal, but one may not make a non-food item, such as cedar boughs, which are normally used as fuel, and give it the status of food by untying them and scattering them in front of an animal. Rav Yudah holds that one may make an animal food edible for an animal, such as untying bundles of straw, since before it's untied it cannot be eaten, but one cannot exert himself for the mere enhancement of animal food, such as scattering the bundles, which makes them more appetizing. Rashi explains that when the straw is packed together, it becomes warm and doesn't release much of a scent. As a result, the animals do not find it appealing. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which reminds the next mission discusses the feeding of animals and states, Ein ma'amirin es algalin, one may not fatten calves of a malitin, but one may put food down their throats. This is Malchokas Amarayim on how to define these terms. Rav Yehuda says, Hamra'al l'makam she'ini yachol alachzir. Fattening denotes putting the food in an area in the animal's throat that is so far back that the animal cannot bring the food back. Putting food down their throats denotes placing the food in the throat where the animal can still bring it up. Rav Chisda says that both terms denote placing the food so far back that the animal can no longer bring it up. The difference is that hamra'a b'kli. Fattening refers to using an implement, which Rashi defines as a spoon, which the Mishnah prohibits. And halata b'yad, putting the food down their throats, refers to when this is done by hand, which the Mishnah permits. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which didn't look very appealing to the stray dog, hoping for a chunk of meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yonah expounded at the entrance of the Nasi's palace, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Yodei Tzadik Din Dalim, the righteous one knows the suffering of the poor. Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kalev Shemozono Sab Mu'atim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that a dog's food is typically meager, he therefore decreed that dog's food should linger in its belly for 3 days. Rav Hamnuna said that we learn from this that's proper to throw a chunk of meat to a stray dog. Daf Kuf Nun Vav. So the symbol Kuf Nun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. When a baby was born on the canoe trip, that must mean one Daf Kuf Nun Vav. When a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, which reminds us, it was written of Yeshua ben Levi's ledger how a person's nature is determined based on the day of the week he was born. For example, one born on Sunday will be a man of one nature without one trace of any other nature in him. Rav Ashi says that this means that the person's nature will be either all good without a trace of bad or all bad without a trace of good. The Gemara explains that the reason a person born on Sunday will tend to extremes is because the Ibru Bei Or V'Choshech, on Sunday, the first day of creation, light and darkness were created. Rav Chinina said to the Talmidim who read the ledger, they should go and tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Mazel Yom Gorim El Mazel Shal Gorim." It's not the celestial sign of the day that influences a man's nature. Rather, it's a celestial sign that dominates at the hour of one's birth. For example, one born during the hour of Mars will be a spiller of blood. Rabbi Ashi says that he's destined to either be a bloodletter, thief, shochet, or moel. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man who's davening finally changes mazal, which reminds Rabbi Chanina holds that mazal determines one's level of intelligence and wealth, and that yesh mazal Yisrael, mazal applies to Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that even tefillah and tzedakah cannot change it. Rabbi Yochanan holds, Ein mazal Yisrael, the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that tefillah and tzedakah can change one's mazal. Their machlokas only refers to individuals, as they both agree on a national level, Ein mazal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, brings a proof that Ein mazal Yisrael from when Avram questioned who was going to inherit him, given that he knew astrologically that he was not destined to have a son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Tzei mi'iztekaninos shelcha she'ein mazal Yisrael. Go outside of your astrology, but the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man whose davening finally changed his mazal, everybody sat down for a group meal of bread, and no one was embarrassed. Which reminds us that Gemara brings a number of incidents that illustrate Ein mazal Yisrael. In one case, Avlate, a non-Jewish astrologer, had said a certain man was going to die, and Shmuel said if the man was Jewish, he would live. When the man returned alive, Avlate threw off the man's pack of reeds and found a snake cut in pieces. Shmuel asked the man what he had done to make him deserving to be spared from death. The man explained that he saved the man who forgot to bring bread to a group meal from embarrassment by pretending to take bread from him. Shmuel told him that he did a mitzvah and expounded that tzedakah tatzum amavis and charity saves from death. V'loma misa mishuna, not just from an unusual death, elma misa atzma, but even from death itself. Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. So the symbol of Kuf Nun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. Ice cream cones, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muktzatzim which reminds the Gemara brings a machlokes amoraim between Rav Akiva and Ravina regarding the final halacha muksa. One said, "Because Shabbos kula halachah Rabbi Shimon lebarba muksa machmas mius." Regarding all the hilchos Shabbos, the law is like Rabbi Shimon that there's no prohibition of muksa, except in regard to muksa due to repugnance, such as using a ner yashan, a used clay lamp. The other said, "But muksa machmas mius nami halachah Rabbi Shimon lebarba muksa machmas iser." Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makrins chesron kis afil Rabbi Shimon moda. With regard to something that is muksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is muksa. Examples are meser agadav yasid shel mechresha, a large saw and a plow blade. So ice cream cones at hilchas muksa siyum were savored by dieting talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states, Mafir Nedarim b'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains is referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow. V'nishal Nedarim she'en l'tzorcha Shabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a chacham made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, if the Mishnah permits one to seek release from Nedarim, k'shalo hayol panai, in a case where he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, Odilma afil hayol panai, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zerah, from a neder, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. So ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muksasim were savored by dieting talmidim, released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Which reminds the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from this incident, pokeking modidin b'koshim b'Shabbos, we may shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. But Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved a corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with a flask to prevent tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask from the window since the tumah would not spread into the houses. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechet Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do you learn the summation of Hilchos Muksa? That's on daf Kufnun Zayin. Good number 2, which daf do you learn the dog's food is typically meager? Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that their food lingers in their bellies for 3 days. That's on daf Kufnun Hay. Good number 3, which daf do we have a machokas if there is a mazel Yisrael? That's on daf Kufnun Vav. Good number 4, which daf do we discuss food preparation for animals? That's on daf Kufnun Hay. Good number 5, which daf do we learn that the Mishkan is sometimes referred to as a Mikdash and vice versa? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that one should not speak in front of a mace, in front of a corpse? That's on daf Kufnum Beis. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have a machlokas regarding whether a kara above 20 amas in a mavui needs to be lowered? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that staka tatsum amavas, and it was learned from the story of the person he didn't want to embarrass another who didn't have bread? That's on daf Kufnun Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the incident of the corpse in the narrow alley? That's on daf Kufnun Zayin. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which daf do we learn that the doors of the Heichol were for Tznias purposes? That's on daf Beis and Erevin. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Masechet Shabbos. Which daf do we learn about Macho Ben Drosai for the first time? That's on daf Chaf. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that you can insulate cold food? That's on daf Nun. Good. Final question number 3. Which daf do we have a malchok? Because we're wondering what type of tumah is of avodah zorah? That's on daf Pebes. Excellent. All right. That concludes our power quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.